Third, teaching methods of the Chan school. Chan questioning and counter questioning. One Chan method of teaching is to answer or return a question with another question. This method can lead to sudden enlightenment. The best way to understand how this method works is through exemplification. Once, a group of people saw a Chan master spit on a Buddha statue. They were repulsed and reprimanded the Chan master. "What is the matter with you? How can you spit on the statue of the Buddha?" The Chan master replied calmly, "Can you show me a spot where the Buddha is not present? I need to spit again." This Chan master realized the fact that Dharma nature permeates all space. The Dharma body fills the whole universe. Those who reprimanded the Chan master believed that they were being respectful to the Buddha, when in fact their behavior showed that they did not truly understand the Buddha. The Dharma body, the true form of the Buddha, is present everywhere. Hence, the Chan master's request, "Can you show me a spot where the Buddha is not present? Can you answer this question?" If you cannot answer, it means that you do not understand the Dharma. Even to those who understand the Dharma, such a counter question can heighten their wisdom and deepen their understanding of Chan. Ma Zu Dao Yi studied under a student of the sixth patriarch. Now, Dao Yi had a student named Bai Zhang Huai Hai. One day, a monk asked Chan Master Bai Zhang, "Who is the Buddha?" Bai Zhang turned the question around and asked him, "Ha, who are you?" The meaning of his reply is this: "You are a Buddha. Don't you know that? Why do you need to ask someone else?" One person asked, "Who is the Buddha?" The other replied, "Who are you?" The conversation appears simple, but its subtle meaning is boundless. The fourth patriarch, Dao Xin, once asked the third patriarch, Xin Chan, "How can I be liberated?" "Who binds you?" asked Xin Chan. "Nobody binds me," answered Dao Xin. "If nobody binds you, what do you want to be liberated from?" From this series of questions, we can see that we are not so much bound by external forces as we are bound by ourselves. There is a common Chinese saying that carries a similar meaning: "There are no hardships in the world. People create problems for themselves." The mind is like a factory. A good factory produces quality products, while a poor factory produces defective products. Likewise, healthy minds produce good thoughts, while deluded minds produce trouble and affliction. The usual mode of learning is to study hard and ask questions. In the Chan style of teaching, questions are often answered with more questions. This is the method of questioning and counter-questioning. Chan practitioners may direct questions to themselves. Questions may include, who is reciting the Buddha's name? What is the meaning of the first patriarch coming west? Before I was born, who was I? If you persist in asking yourself questions like these and concentrate on answering them, you will eventually attain enlightenment. Practicing Chan is a personal effort. In the Platform Sutra, there is an exchange between the fifth patriarch and the sixth patriarch that illustrates the importance of self-reliance. After the sixth patriarch was awakened to the truth, the fifth patriarch suggested he travel south to avoid persecution by the fifth patriarch's other disciples. The fifth patriarch said to him, "I will ferry you across the river." The sixth patriarch replied, "Venerable Master, please be seated. Your disciple should row." The fifth patriarch again offered, "It is only fitting that I ferry you across." The sixth patriarch turned him down and said, "When I was deluded, I needed a teacher to ferry me. Upon awakening, I ferry myself." From this exchange, we can see that while our teachers are there to guide our practice, we must realize the truth through our own efforts. When we practice Chan, we should emulate the spirit of Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva and vigilantly monitor our own minds. This is the essence of Chan and the origin of its profound teachings. Once, a young man was paying homage to Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva in a temple. He noticed that the Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva statue held a string of prayer beads. The man said to a nearby monk, "We use prayer beads to help us recite the name of Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva. But whose name does Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva recite?" The monk replied, "Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva." The young man was puzzled and asked, "Why does Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva need to recite the name of Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva?" The monk smiled and replied, "It is more reliable to depend on oneself than to depend on others." Buddhism is a religion that puts great emphasis on personal development, self-realization, and self-discovery. Hence, it is important that we practice and realize the truth for ourselves. The Chan method of teaching by questioning and counter-questioning can help us open and develop our own thinking. One day, in a flash of insight, we will be able to see the truth. Chan opposing answers. In the Chan school, it is quite common for a Chan master to vary the answers to a question according to the speaker's level of spiritual maturity. A Chan master may answer a question with a yes, while at other times, he or she may answer the same question with a no. Again, the best way to understand how this teaching method works is to hear some examples. Chan Master Ma Zu Dao Yi was a student of a student of the sixth patriarch. Whenever anyone asked him about the Dharma, he would inevitably answer, "The Buddha is the mind. The mind is the Buddha." One day, someone asked him, "Why do you always tell people, 'The Buddha is the mind. The mind is the Buddha,' whenever you are asked about the Dharma?" Mazu answered, "When a child is crying, you have no choice but to give him a cookie. It gives him comfort." The person asked further, "So, if a child is not crying, what would you say?" Mazu replied, "I would say, 'There is no mind. There is no Buddha.'" Sometime later, a young Chan master by the name of Da Mei Fa Chang came from afar to learn the Dharma from Mazu. The young man said, "Please tell me, what is the Dharma?" Mazu said to the young man, "The Buddha is the mind. The mind is the Buddha." Upon hearing this, Da Mei was enlightened. After attaining enlightenment, Da Mei left to other places to propagate Chan Buddhism. Many came to learn from him. Word that Da Mei had become enlightened finally reached Mazu, his teacher. Mazu wondered if Da Mei had truly understood the Dharma. So he asked one of his students to go and test Da Mei. When the student arrived before Da Mei, he asked, "Dharma brother, what did you learn from our teacher?" Da Mei answered, "The Buddha is the mind. The mind is the Buddha." As instructed by Mazu, the student said to Da Mei, "Did you know that our teacher no longer says, 'The Buddha is the mind. The mind is the Buddha'?" Da Mei asked, "What is he teaching now?" The student said, "Our teacher now says that there is no mind. There is no Buddha." When he heard this, Da Mei frowned and said, "That old monk likes to give people a hard time. I don't really care if he is teaching, 'There is no mind. There is no Buddha.' I will continue teaching, 'The Buddha is the mind. The mind is the Buddha.'" The student then went back to Mazu and recounted the meeting to his teacher. Happily, Mazu said, "The plum is now truly ripe." Da Mei had understood the Dharma. Sometimes we need affirmation from others to strengthen our faith and confidence. Other times, our beliefs and understanding need to be challenged for us to truly understand. Chan Master Da Mei was confident in himself and refused to follow others blindly. Regardless of what his mentor, Mazu, was now teaching, Da Mei was not swayed. This kind of confidence, determination, and self-respect is the characteristic of a true Chan master. In another example, a lay devotee once went to Chan Master Ji Zhang and asked, "Chan Master, please tell me, are there heavens and hells?" "Yes." "Does the Triple Gem, the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha exist?" "Yes." "Are the laws of cause and effect and the six realms of existence real? Yes, it's true. Regardless of what the lay devotee asked Chan Master Ji Zhang, he would answer in the affirmative. The lay devotee grew skeptical and finally said, "Chan Master, that cannot be true." Chan Master Ji Zhang asked, "Why?" The lay devotee replied, "When I went to Chan Master Jing Shan and asked him the same questions, he always answered, 'No, it does not exist.' When I asked him if there is such a thing as the law of cause and effect, he said, 'No, it does not exist.' When I asked him if there are Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, he said, 'No, they do not exist.' When I asked him if there are heavens and hells, he also said, 'No, they do not exist.' Why is it that you answered yes to all of my questions?" Chan Master Ji Zhang was not at all surprised. He asked the lay devotee, "Let me ask you, do you have a wife?" The lay devotee was not sure where he was going with this, but he answered anyway, "Yes." "Do you have children?" "Yes." Ji Zhang continued to ask, "Does Chan Master Jin Shan have a wife?" "No." "Does Chan Master Jin Shan have children?" "No." Chan Master Ji Zhang explained, "That is why Chan Master Jin Shan told you that the law of cause and effect, heavens and hells, and so on and so forth, do not exist. I told you that they existed because you have a wife and children." Despite the same set of questions, these two Chan Masters gave very different answers. While the two sets of answers appear different, they actually possess similar meanings. Although they gave opposing answers, the two Chan Masters are not contradicting each other. There is only one Dharma, but we may have different degrees of understanding. Jing Shan's answers of non-existence underlie a profound meaning and represent an elevated state of mind. Jing Shan's "no" is emptiness, and without emptiness, there could be no existence. Chan indirect speech. What is indirect speech? When Chan Masters speak, they rarely speak directly. Instead, they use metaphors or unrelated subjects to make indirect references. This method brings people to realize the truth on their own. The following are a few examples of this method in motion. Chan Master Zhao Zhou Chongren was a witty individual. People called him the Old Buddha of Zhao Zhou. Even at the age of 80, he continued to travel and learn. Once, in a playful mood, he made a bet with his student, Chan Master Wen Yin. He said to his student, "Let us make a bet. We will see which one of us can debase himself the most. Whoever wins can have this biscuit here." Wen Yin nodded and said, "All right, you can start first." Zhao Zhou started off by saying, "I am a donkey." Wen Yin immediately replied, "I am the rear end of the donkey." Zhao Zhou followed up and said, "I am excrement of the donkey." Wen Yin was not about to give up. He said, "I am the maggot in the excrement." Zhao Zhou was stumped, so he asked Wen Yin, "What are you doing in the excrement?" Wen Yin replied, "I am sheltering myself from the summer heat." Zhao Zhou admitted defeat and happily handed the biscuit to Wen Yin. What this exchange teaches us is this: the high must be found in the lowly. Bodhi is realized in the midst of suffering. When our minds are pure, we see everything as pure. Our mindset changes the way we see things. Even a donkey, its buttocks, its stool, and maggots can help us see the Dharma. From this example, we can see that the words of Chan masters are full of Chan teachings and rich in meaning. In the Jingchu Temple of Wenzhou, there was a bhikshuni named Xuanji. She was a very learned bhikshuni and had once traveled to Mount Dari, which means hills of the great sun, to practice Chan. Later, she went to visit the Chan master Shui Feng, which means snow peaks. Like the sixth patriarch, Shui Feng too greeted his visitors with this question: "Where did you come from?" "I came from Mount Dari," replied Xuanji. Shui Feng mockingly asked, "Has the sun risen yet?" Xuanji was not intimidated and answered, "If the great sun, Dari, had risen, the snow peak, Shui Feng, would have melted." To understand Xuanji's answer, we have to know the meaning of Shui Feng's question. When Shui Feng asked Xuanji if the sun had risen, he was asking her indirectly if she had realized the truth. Xuanji replied that if she had realized the truth, she would not have traveled all this way to learn from him, Shui Feng. From Xuanji's answers, Shui Feng understood that though she had not realized the truth, she was an earnest student. So he asked her, "What is your name?" "My name is Xuanji," which means a wonderful weaving machine. Shui Feng wanted to know how diligent she was in her practice. So he tested her: "How much do you weave every day?" Xuanji replied, "I don't have a thread on me." She implied that she was completely liberated, which was stretching the truth a bit. After they finished talking, Xuanji stood up and left. As she was walking to the door, Shui Feng called to her from behind, "Your robe is dragging on the ground." When Xuanji heard this, she turned around to look. Shui Feng broke out in laughter and said, "And you said you don't have a single thread on you." enlightenment is something that cannot be faked. Using indirect speech in this way, Chan masters can assess if one is truly enlightened and liberated. Once, a monk asked Zhao Zhou, "What is the right way to practice Chan and attain the way?" Zhao Zhou got up from his seat and said, "I have to go to the restroom." He took a few steps, turned back to the monk and said, "You see, even a simple thing like this, I have to do on my own. No one can do it for me." Zhao Zhou was indirectly telling the monk that practicing Chan and attaining the way are very personal matters that we must do on our own. In this way, the Chan master was indirect, yet also crystal clear. During the Tang Dynasty, there was a great scholar by the name of Han Yu. Han Yu was prejudiced against Buddhism. Once he tried to dissuade the emperor from throwing a grand celebration in honor of a Buddha relic arriving in China. Upset, the emperor demoted Han Yu to governor of the backwater province of Chaozhou. As this area was far removed from the capital and culturally backward, there were few learned scholars with whom Han Yu could speak to. Among the handful of learned scholars who lived there was Chan Master Da Dian. Han Yu decided to pay this monastic a visit. It just so happened that each time Han Yu went to call on Da Dian, he was not in. One day, Han Yu called on the Chan master and was delighted to find him sitting in meditation. He was not about to give up this opportunity, so he decided to wait. After waiting a long time, the master was still in meditation. Han Yu was growing impatient. Witnessing this, Da Dian's attendant tapped a little bell by his master's ear, and he said out loud, "First, influence through Chan, then eradicate arrogance with wisdom. Master, your practice of Chan has already moved Han Yu. He is no longer arrogant and condescending. Now, please come out of meditation and teach him with your wisdom." Han Yu was a very intelligent man. He understood the meaning behind the attendant's words. He smiled and said, "The Chan master's teaching method is truly superb. Your attendant's words have already led me to Buddhism." Later, Han Yu asked the Chan master to be his teacher and took refuge in the Triple Gem. Sometimes, spoken words are not the best way to reach others. Chan Master Da Dian, for instance, taught Han Yu by sitting still. Even the attendant said but a few words, yet they were able to indirectly allude to a very deep and profound teaching. The once arrogant Han Yu was so moved by this revelation that he changed his ways and took refuge in the Triple Gem. Da Dian was a student of Chan Master Xi Tou Xi Qian, whose preserved body is still kept at a temple in Japan today. Shito led a very interesting life. His enlightenment is another example of the method of indirect speech. When Shito was 12, he happened upon the sixth patriarch at Chaoshi. The sixth patriarch immediately took a liking to him and asked that Shito become his student. Deeply honored, Shito became a student of the sixth patriarch at the tender age of 12. Unfortunately, the sixth patriarch passed away 3 short years later. Shito was just 15. But before the sixth patriarch passed away, Shito asked for teachings. The sixth patriarch said to him, "Go to Xinxi." In Chinese, the name Xinxi sounds very close to Xuanxi, to contemplate. Thus, it was no surprise that Shito misunderstood the dying words of the sixth patriarch. He meditated every day. Fortunately, an elder monk learned of the situation and said to Shito, "You are mistaken. Your teacher told you to go to your Dharma brother, Xinxi. He is teaching the Dharma in the hills of Qingyuan. You should go there to pay him a visit." Now that Shito understood what the sixth patriarch wanted him to do, he immediately left for Qingyuan. When he arrived there, Chan Master Xinxi asked him, "Where did you come from?" "I came from Chaoxi," answered Shito, essentially telling Xinxi that he came from the sixth patriarch. Xinxi asked further, "Did you attain anything there?" "I was not missing anything even before I got there," replied Shito. He meant that as his Buddha nature was complete, even before he traveled to Chaoxi, there was nothing for him to attain. "Why did you go to Chaoxi if you did not attain anything?" Shito explained, "If I had not gone to Chaoxi, how would I know that I could not attain anything?" In other words, if he had not gone to Chaoxi, he would not have realized that he always had Buddha nature. This is yet another example of using indirect speech. We have touched on a few Chan methods of teaching: questioning and counter-questioning, opposing answers, and indirect speech. There are many other methods, but in this limited space, I cannot introduce them all. I would like to conclude with several poems written by the famous Chinese poet Su Dongpo. These poems were written at different stages of his life and reflect different levels of Chan understanding. The first poem is about the majestic mountain range of Lushan and was written before Su Dongpo studied Chan. "It's a mountain range when viewed horizontally, a peak vertically, near, far, high or low, how its appearance varies. One cannot know the true nature of Mount Lu, for one is on that very mountain itself." After Su Dongpo, began to learn of Chan, he wrote another poem, Misty Rain Over Mount Lu and the Waves of Zhejiang. Missing out on such marvels brings a thousand unbearable regrets. But upon actually seeing them, there is nothing really there, just misty rain over Mount Lu and the waves of Zhejiang. When his understanding of Chan matured, he wrote yet another poem. The sounds of the rippling creek are all words of the Buddha. The mountain scene is none other than the body of the Dharma. Night falls, and one contemplates 84,000 verses. Just how will I tell others these truths at some later time? Now that you have had a glimpse of the wondrous teachings of the Chan School of Buddhism, the rest is up to you. From the teachings of the Sixth Patriarch and the different Chan methods described here, we know that Chan is not taught, but realized by oneself in one's daily life.